All right, we're beginning with the Mishnah on the bottom of Yud Aleph Amud Bet. The Mishnah says, Dishun Mizbeach HaPnimi V'Aminora. So there are ashes associated with the Mizbeach HaZahav, the Mizbeach HaPnimi, because the Ketoret was put on that Mizbeach, so it creates ashes. Those ashes had to be removed. And then you have the Dishun HaMinora, which is the removal of the ashes from the Minorah. Those ashes that are removed from both of those locations, Lo Ne'nin V'Lo Mo'alim. There's no Hana'ah, and there is no Mi'ilah. The Balei HaTosafot make the point over here that when it says over here, lo mo'alin, it means lo ma'alim afilu midrabanan. That it does not just mean lo ma'alim deoraita, but it also means lo ma'alin midrabanan. Even though in the past we've seen that when it is speaking about things that are lo mo'alim, that means lo ma'alin deoraita, but there is still a mi'ila midrabanan. And over here, he makes the point that that is not the case in this parak. And many of these items that are mentioned here means lo ma'alin klal. And you can see that it's actually on the next part of the Mishnah, which we're not going to read now. The next part of the Mishnah, he says, lo ne'im lo ma'alin perush lo ma'alin klal. Vafilu midrabanan. Tahala el gabe dam kamar ein ma'alin al-kokokha rotzo lomar ein ma'alin klal. And he bases it on the previous Mishnah that spoke about dam. And by dam, you can't make the claim that there is a no din doraita but a din derabanan, because the whole din afterwards of Mi'ilah is Mi'ilah derabanan. But dam, after the mitzvah is done, it goes out to the rivers, down Nachal Kidron, and you could use it for fertilizer. That's clearly only midrabanan. So that means when it said en mo'alim before that, it clearly meant en mo'alim both midoraita and midrabanan. And therefore, the Balei Tosafot feels that in this parak, when we say en mo'alim, it means legamre en mo'alim. And lo ne'anin is just this isur of harchoka to stay away from it, but there's no actual din of Mi'ilah here. Not midoraita, not midrabanan. Now, hamakdish dishun bitchila, someone who is makdish the dishun from the outset, mo'alin ba, then there is mi'ilah. I'm not going to read the remainder of the Mishnah. The remainder of the Mishnah belongs to the next Mishnah, because that's all about birds. So I'm going to focus on this and then move into the Gemara. The question is, what did the Mishnah say when it said makdish dishun bitchila? Rashi is an interesting interpretation. Rashi says that after you take the dishun, ha-mizbeach pnimi and the menorah, which you take off, and then you place it in the same location that you put the trumat hadeshen. The trumat hadeshen goes next to the mizbeach on the eastern side of the ramp. The same location is where you put the dishun from, the mizbeach pnimi and the menorah. The difference being that even after the trumat hadeshen, there still is an issue, which is v'samu eitzel ha-mizbeach, that you have to place it eitzel the mizbeach. That samo next to the mizbeach means that there's still a mitzvah or there's still mi'ilah associated with that deshen even after trumat deshen is performed. We saw that in today's daf. Trumat deshen is an exception to the rule of nasem mitzvato, that there still is mi'ilah. Trumat deshen still has mi'ilah. Even after you've done the mitzvah, there's still a din of mi'ilah when you place it there. What Rashi says is, after you take the dishun mizbeach pnimi and the dishun of the menorah and you put them together with the trumat deshen, now they're all mixed together. When they're mixed together, now you have a problem mi'ilah for those dishun also, not inherently because of themselves, but because they're mixed with the deshen of the zbecha chitzon. That's what Rashi says here. You have to edit the gears a little bit based on the tzona kodoshim, but he writes here that achar shi niach dishun mizbech v'niv v'nora b'makom shi v'niach shumat deshen shom zbecha chitzon di efshar delo lidbeka be'ipurta. Some of it's got to get mixed together. V'lachi molim v'kulo. Therefore, there's mi'ilah on the entire amount. That's how Rashi reads it. That's right. There's no hakdasha. Rashi's interpretation is very hard to read into the Mishnah, because the Mishnah says ha-makdish. It sounds like you did something actively. The only thing Rashi says that happens is you are makdish it by placing it in the location where there's something that's kodesh. And therefore makes it into hakdasha. And that's the way Rashi is going to read the remainder of the Gemara now. I'm going to read the Gemara with Rashi's interpretation, then we'll come back and see the other interpretations, that of Tosafot and that of the Rabbeinu Gershom. The way the question of the Gemara goes now is, Bishlama Mizbeach HaChitzon. By the Mizbeach HaChitzon, I know, Dichtiv Bei B'samu Eitel HaMizbeach, that's how I know that you have to place it next to the Mizbeach. It says it, Samo Eitel HaMizbeach. You put it on the eastern side of the ramp next to the Mizbeach. Mizbeach HaPnimi Minolan. How do you know that you put it there? So as Rashi says over here, the question is, how do you know you put the ashes of Mizbeach HaPnimi in the same place where you put those of the Mizbeach HaKitzon? And therefore, there's going to be Mi'ilah because of the problem of mixing them together. Meaning that you're creating the problem by putting them in the same place. How do you even know that the Mizbeach HaPnimi goes to the same location where the Mizbeach HaKitzon is placed down. So that is the question of the Gemara. And the Gemara says, Amar Rav Elazar, Amar Kra. Pasuk says, V'sirat morata benotzata. It's actually a pasuk that's found in the beginning of Vayikra with regards to the Olat Ha'of. The Olat Ha'of, it says you have to remove these parts of the Olat Ha'of. And then it continues. The pasuk, they don't give you the remainder of the pasuk, but that's the most important part of the pasuk, which is not the part of Vayimimet morata benotzata. Says here, Esir and Murato benotzata, Bishlichota Eitzel HaMizbeach Kedma, El Mikom Hadoshen. That is that you place it, B'makom HaDeshen. That you place it in the same place that you place the Deshen. Im Eino Neminyan Mizbeach HaChitzon, if it's not for the Mizbeach HaChitzon, because you already know where you put the Mizbeach HaChitzon, because there it said, V'samo Eitzel HaMizbeach. So that we already have for the Mizbeach HaChitzon. So that's in the Parshat HaDeshen. In Perek Vav, in Parshat Tzav, it already tells you that you put it next to the Mizbeach. So then, when it says here that you put it by Makom HaDeshen, what's that a reference to? So if it's not for Mizbech Litzon, Tneo Le'inya Mizbech HaPnimi. Then it should be for the Mizbech HaPnimi, and that's how we know the Mizbech HaPnimi goes there. Where it says, Eima Idi V'Idi Mizbech Litzon. Why don't you say both of them are a reference to Mizbech Litzon? Ulikbo Alo Makom. To tell you exactly where you need to place it. Meaning that all it says in the Pasuk in Tzav is V'Samo Eitzel HaMizbech. That's next to the Mizbech. Doesn't give you the location by the Mizbech. Here, by the case of the Olat Ha'of, it is Kovei HaMakom, and that's based on the Gemara that tells us that you can throw it a certain amount of distance, how much it has to be away from the Mizbeach, and that gives you the exact location of where it's going to be, Eitzel HaMizbeach Kedma, on the eastern side of the Mizbeach. So first of all, it gives you location-wise where it's going to be, and number two is, based on the necessity to throw it, it all tells you how far from the Mizbeach it's going to be. So now you have two pieces of information that you need. One is that the ashes in the Mizbeach HaChitzon have to be placed next to it. That you know from the Pasuk. What you don't know is where is that location. That's what the Pasuk of Morata and Notzata is going to tell you, because there it tells you that B'makom HaDeshen Eitzel HaMizbeach Kedma. So it's going to be in the place of the Deshen on the eastern side of the Mizbeach. So that gives you location now, not just you have to put it next to the Mizbeach, but it gives you the eastern side. And then based on the distance markings, it'll end up 10 amot away from the ramp on the eastern side, whatever the measurements are that the Gemara gives over there. But you need both of them for the Mizbeach HaChitzon. So the Gemara says, Im kein lema kara, Eitzel HaMizbeach. Now that you don't need it for, because then you could have just said, Eitzel HaMizbeach, Mai HaDeshen. So then why do you have to mention the Deshen at all? Tafil Mizbeach HaPnimi, that even the Mizbeach HaPnimi. So what Rashi notes over here is that Parshat Tzav, when it speaks about Shemat HaDeshen, it says, V'samo Eitzel HaMizbeach. So there you have the word Eitzel. Also over here, had you just wanted to tell us that same information, you could have just said, Eitzel HaMizbeach. So there is Sirin Murato Benotzata, Bishlichota Eitzel HaMizbeach Kedma, El Mikom HaDoshen. So you have two pieces of information. You have Bishlichota Eitzel HaMizbeach Kedma. That Eitzel would have been enough for us, because then you would have had a Gzer Shava of Bishlichota Eitzel HaMizbeach Kedma, with V'samo Eitzel HaMizbeach from Parshat Tzav. That Eitzel would have told you the location. What is El Makom HaDoshen? What does that add? So El Makom HaDoshen, as we're saying now, adds the fact that the Mizbeach HaPnimi also goes there. Then the Gemara says, how about the Menorah Minolan? How do we know that the Menorah also goes there? And that, he says, that comes from Deshen HaDeshen. So the extra hay, which also was unnecessary, teaches you that the Deshen HaMenorah goes there. So from that information, according to Rashi, we learn the location, first of all, of the Deshen, Trumata Deshen. That comes from the Pasuk, the beginning of the Pasuk. We also learn that the Deshen HaMizbeach HaPnimi goes to that same location. And we also learn now the Deshen HaMenorah goes to that same location. And we have the last piece of information is once they're mixed together, then there's an issue of Kodesh, because they're mixed with items that are V'samo Eitzel HaMizbeach, that's written in the Parsha of Trumata Deshen, which tells that there's still residual Mi'ilah even after the mitzvah has been done. So that's how the way Rashi reads the Gemara. Again, Rashi's reading is easy and simple, it just doesn't fit the wording of the Mishnah. That's the biggest problem with Rashi's interpretation. One that works the best with the Lashon HaMishnah is actually the Rabbeinu Gershom. If you look down at the bottom of the Amud Bet on Yud Aleph, the Rabbeinu Gershom says, Hachi Kamar, Im Hikdish Echad Ma'ot Demei Oto Dishun. Somebody was Makdish, the value of the ashes. That's what you're asking, Ha Makdish. Version was Makdishit. Kagon Damar Harei Alai Demei Dishun Bitchila. He says, I'm going to pay for that. Kodem Shotio Lazara. Before they took it out to the Azara. So it sounds like you cleaned it off the Mizbech HaPnimi, and then the guy was Makdishit. The ashes itself have no Mi'ila associating with them. They actually have very little value associated with them, but he says, I'm going to give whatever the value is I'm going to give Diyesh bo Mi'ila. Now there's going to be Mi'ila because of the fact that he was Makdish its value. V'achar kachotzio l'chutz. Now he takes it out. U'ba'acher v'nene min adishun. And then somebody gets hana from it. Avagav dekvar naseit mitzvato. Even though the mitzvah is already done, afil hachi mo'alim bo. Because it has nothing to do with the mitzvah of the dishun. It has to do with the fact that this person added on a layer of hekdesh on top of the mitzvah. Came into neni menu v'chiser min adeshin. He now used some of this deshin, say he used it for fertilizer, whatever he did with it. Then shuv leka l'sha'er kama hayudamav. Now it's impossible to figure out how much value he took or what the value is that he owes. And therefore, the donation is uncertain and you've ruined it or done something that hurts hekdesh. And therefore now there's mi'ilah associated with it. You've definitely hurt hekdesh because hekdesh now can't collect from this guy or doesn't know how much to collect from this guy. So you certainly have hurt hekdesh in that way. And that's mi'ilah. Mi'ilah is when you've done something that causes losses to hekdesh and you've done that here. And therefore you're going to be chayav for mi'ilah. The Gemara then reads, according to the Rebbeinu Gershom, the Gemara is asking over here, when it says, Ela mizbech ha-penimi minayin, it says, the havilei avid dishun klau. How do you know that the mizbech ha-penimi needs dishun at all? V'shaya menicho et la mizbech chitzon. The Rebbeinu Gershom says there are two questions being asked by the Gemara now. How do you even know that there's a mitzvah to do the dishun ha-mizbech ha-penimi? And then if you do know, then how do you know from that you also have to put it next to the mizbech chitzon? So that's the way the Gemara continues, according to the Rebbeinu Gershom. But that means that the Gemara is asking a much more fundamental question. It's not connected to Hamakdish Dishun B'Tchila. It's simply a question about, you're telling us that there's no Mi'ilah because you did a mitzvah. How do you even know there's a mitzvah to take the Dishun off the Mizbech HaPnimi and the Menorah? And then once you've taken it off, how do you even know where to place it? So that's the way that the Rebbeinu Gershom reads it. The Baal HaTosafot really asked the question, which is, says, Yesh Mifarshim B'Makdish Efer Kirato. People explain that we're speaking about someone who's Makdish the ashes inside of his oven. So the ashes in the oven, he's makdish them to habayit. Now, that's not far off what the Rebbeinu Gershom says. The Rebbeinu Gershom says you were makdish the ashes, but they were ashes of the mizbech ha'pnimi. But the problem you have here is ve'ein nira, the atu the garmi makdish zevel ashpato, but how's that any different than being makdish anything you own? Makdish your garbage, your dung. Anything you're makdish has value, and then when you take from it or you utilize it, you're hurting hekdesh. That there's mi'ilah. What chiddush is there that there's mi'ilah associated with something that you are makdish? So Baal Tosafot or Sholel, the interpretation that it's talking about being makdish, something like ashes to the mikdash, because it's obvious. When you makdish ashes to the mikdash, it's no different than any other object that you makdish to the mikdash. It has value. And then if you hurt it or you diminish that value, you owe the mikdash money. It's not a question. So he says, L'kach nireh the faresh to mari b'adam shenatal mitshumat adeshen that a person took from the Trumat HaDeshen after it was already taken off, and then he was Makdishit, and therefore there's Mi'ila Min HaTorah. So now, the way that Tosfot reads it is over here is HaMakdish B'Tchila, someone who's Makdish the Trumat HaDeshen after it was already taken off, the Trumat HaDeshen, and removed, then there's going to be Mo'alim Ba Min HaTorah. Now there's mi'ilah min haTorah, implying that the sum weights of the mizbeach or the gniza that's required by the Trumat HaDeshen is only a mi'ilah midarabanan, and this somehow elevates it to mi'ilah deoraita, which is interesting in of itself because that means that he thinks along that the stuff that you place by the mizbeach after the Trumat HaDeshen that there's mi'ilah by it. Sum weights of mizbeach is a pasuk. It sounds like it's midoraita that there's mi'ilah. So why is being makdishit or any more problematic? Unless you say that the harama does it without the kedusha b'peh, meaning that it is the harama itself that generates this kedusha. But then you run into the same problem as Rashi, which is the Mishnah says that they were actively matishit, and now it sounds like just your activity creates the kedusha. Unless you say he's saying what the Rebbeinu Gershom said, that we're speaking about not the trumat the deshin, but rather the deshin that's coming off of the mizbeach ha-pnimi, or the deshin that's coming off the menorah. And that's basically giving evidence to the fact that the kedusha here from this item has dissipated completely. It's not mo'alim, and there's no iser hana'ah min haTorah. That makes it now that if you're makdishit, you can elevate its status. Now, whether he means to be makdishit, like the Rebbeinu Gershom, for its monetary value, though he doesn't require chiser or damage to the ashes like the Rebbeinu Gershom, but simply that there be mi'ilah over here, It means that there's now a hekdesh gufo, that you actually makdish the actual object to be used on the Mizbeach or in the Mikdash, is unclear here, but it is a suggestion along those lines if you read it based on the Chok Natan, that it's speaking about the Mizbeach HaPnimi. Then the Balei HaTosafot go through three different possibilities as to what the Gemara's question is with regards to Mizbeach HaPnimi and Mizbeach HaChitzon. In the first attempt, he says, L'chach nir l'fresh t'dayik mi matniten. Our mission says that dishum is be'ach mi lo nenin v'lo ma'alin. There's no hana and there's no milah mishum denasem mitzvato, because the mitzvah is done. The reason it says lo nenin v'lo ma'alin by deshin ha-mizbeach is because the mitzvah is done. Mizbeach ha-chitzon, I understand where you get me'ilah from, because there it says v'samu etzala mizbeach, so I understand, because even after it's done its mitzvah, there is me'ilah, and beforehand it was part of the korbanot. But here, the mizbeach p'nimili, na'in la mitzvah de dashno. Where do you know there's a mitzvah to do it? The neima, de'ein moli mishat tishun. You have to have a mitzvah to say it completed the mitzvah. He says, so the first attempt is to say, finally, mizbech ha-chitzon, we know that nase mitzvato is a factor because it says that it doesn't help you here. So then by mizbech ha-pnimi, how do you know when nase mitzvato that it takes away the mi'ilah? Lo nira. Tosafot says that's not the way to explain it. Dimke mashma de kodem tishun yesh mi'ilah, v'deshin mizbech ha-pnimi v'ze'eino. The problem is that implies that there was mi'ilah beforehand. And Tosafot says there is no mi'ilah, not from the beginning, not at the end. Dishun mizbech pnimi has no mi'ilah with it. That can't be the question. So now it's a second attempt. Elanir lefereish kach v'shlama mizbech itzon dichtiv v'samo nafgalan minei davi mitzvah ledashno. Okay, if it says samo etzal mizbech, now you know there's a mitzvah to take the deshin off the mizbeach ha-chitzon. El mizbech pnimi minalan the mitzvah ledashno. Where do you know that there's a mitzvah to take the ashes off of the Mizbeach HaPnimi? That's the question that Rabbeinu Gershom said was here. How do you know there's a mitzvah to take it off? And how do you know there's a mitzvah to place it? Rashi said it's just where to place it. And the Rabbeinu Gershom had said it was, how do you know there's a mitzvah to take it off? And how do you know there's a mitzvah to place it in a particular location? And it's not doing anything to do with me'ilah. It's just a question of, how do you know that there's a reason to take it off? It says, v'zeh dochak. He says, you're bringing the wrong pasuk by the mizbech chitzon. If you're trying to learn the mitzvah of taking the deshin off the mizbech, some oitzel mizbech is not the mitzvah to take the deshin off the mizbech chitzon. It's ve'erim at the deshin. You must remove, that's the truma at the deshin. That's the mitzvah to take it off. That's missing from the Gemara here. He says, that can't be the explanation. Third explanation that he gives for the Gemara, this one he keeps, is l'kach nir l'fereish t'hachanami bay b'kvi'ut makom. It's asking about the location, like Rashi said, where you're going to place it. The mashu mitocha mishnah, the kviut makom de mizbech v'nibni, hu etzel kedma. The makom shesam dishon mizbech ha-chitzon. The mishnah sounds like you put the mizbech ha-pnimi, ashes, the same place. You put the mizbech ha-chitzon for ashes. And he says, how do you know that? And therefore, the question is, how do you know that there is a requirement to place it into that particular location? So the limud that is here is teaching you where you're going to place the dishon mizbech ha-pnimi, and that's the question of the Gemara. Mizbech chitzon, we know where it goes, because of some way it's on mizbech. Mizbech pnimi, we don't know where it goes. And he says that it has nothing to do with mi'ilah. It's not a question in the world of mi'ilah, it's a question simply about placement of the ashes of the mizbech. And how do you know what the location is to place them? And that's the question of the Gemara. Now Rashi connects it to the mi'ilah aspect, because the way Rashi learns the mi'ilah aspect is then they get mixed together and there's mi'ilah. Tosafot did not learn that way. Tosafot learned that you were makdish them in order to make it, but he doesn't think that the ashes become problematic once you bring them there. He says it's simply a question of placement. Where do the ashes go? All right, now next Mishnah, which we're going to start in the last line of the previous Mishnah, which is Torin, Shalohi Giazmanan. Torin, which only become ra'oi for a korban when they reach a certain maturity age. When they're young, they're not ra'oi. So before that point in time, ubnei yonah shavazmanan, or yabnei yonah, who are only good when they're young. Once they graduate out or mature, they're no good. Both of those, lo nenin v'lo ma'alim. If you makdish them, can't get enough from them, but there is no mi'ilah associated with them because they're disqualified korbanot. Then, continuing in the next Mishnah, Rabbi Shimon Omer, torin shlo yigiazmanan ma'alim behen. By torin that have yet to reach their time, there is mi'ilah. Bnei yonah shavazmanan, lo nenin v'lo ma'alim behen. Bnei Yonah, who graduated out, matured out, then there is no mi'ilah. And the Gemara is going to say now, Bishlam or Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon makes sense. Kedektani taima, because they have the reasoning of Rabbi Shimon from the Gemara in Bechorot, which is Rabbi Shimon Omer, Koraruoi, Lachar Zman, anything that's Ruoi after a point in time, v'hikdisho b'tokzmano, and you're makdish it in that time period before it becomes ro'oi, harihu b'lotase. It has a lotase, but ein bo karet, but there is no karet associated with it. The context in which he says this is the Gemara in Chulin, otovet b'no, and shchutei chutz. Shchutei chutz is chayav karet, but you're only chayav for shchutei chutz on something that is ro'oi bifnim. So if it's ro'oi bifnim, then when you do it outside, you're chayav karet for it. So in this situation, if you did otovet b'no, kodoshim b'chutz. You did that outside of the Mikdash. So the first animal you bring, of course, you're chayav karet. What happens to when you then shecht the other animal? Because Rabbi Shimon says, this otovet b'no could have been brought tomorrow. It was disqualified today because its mother was already shechted today. But other than that, it's a good korban. It's just because of today that it can't be shechted. Therefore, if you shecht it b'chutz, you're still over balotase. You don't get karet because it could have been taken inside. But you will get a lav because you did it with something that will be ra'ui tomorrow. So Rabbi Shimon basically says something that will be ra'ui when before that point in time it already has a certain amount of kedusha to it, has a certain amount of status to it. And so Rabbi Shimon's position in the Mishnah is understandable. He says if you're makdish torin, even though they're before their maturity time when they can go on the mizbeach, still they carry a kedusha with them, and there is mi'ila associated with them. So we understand his position. For the Rabbanan, why is this any different than any case of mechuser zman? The classic case of mechuser zman is a case of bechor. A bechor that is born is kadosh mirechem. From the moment it's born, it's kadosh. Yet it cannot go on the mizbeach till 8 days later. You're not allowed to put an animal onto the mizbeach until the 8th day. So we know from Bechor that Mechuser Zman can be Kadosh, and since it can be Kadosh, even though it's not yet qualified, therefore we know that Mechuser Zman is Mitaser. You can put it into the corral when you have Meiser, and it can be one of the 10 animals that exits, and it's still Kadosh, and it still works because it is Ra'ui in 8 days to become Kadosh, and therefore it's qualified. So what's the difference between Mechuser Zman, where we say it's Kadosh, and these Torin, which are basically Mechuser Zman? After a little bit of time, they're going to be qualified, and it should be fine to make them, or they should be considered kadosh. Amre, mechuser zman, mida dehave ya balmum. Said, no, mechuser zman is connected to balmum, to bar pijonu, because there you can redeem it. Aval hane ofot, ofot are very different, came into in mum posel beofot, since mum does not disqualify an oaf, ein ofot pijon. There is no redemption by the ofot. So what they're pointing out is that there's a difference. Animals have a din of mechuser zman because they also have a din by pijon. If they get a mum in them and they're disqualified from the mizbeach, they still have value in their redemption value that can be used to purchase a new korban. That means so too, prior to the time, we're going to assign them value even though they can't go on the mizbeach. And the comparison is that these animals carry underlying value for the mizbeach irrespective of if they can actually go on the mizbeach at that moment. If it's too early, they can't go, but they carry value towards the mizbeach. Post the time, meaning if they have a mom or something happens to them and they become disqualified, they also carry that value. Birds are very different. Birds are only qualified when they're qualified to go on the mizbeach. If they have a disqualifying event that takes place, there's no fixing it. You can't redeem the birds. Now, it's not really true that there is no such thing as a mum by the ofot, and that's what Tosfot points out, that's lav dafka. Ofot do have mumim. They just have to be a big mum, which is mechuser eiver, in order for it to be disqualified. But as a regular mum, it's not disqualified. Part of that means that since it's not disqualified when it has a mum, that's why it also doesn't have pidyon. Now, even if it has a big enough mum to disqualify it, it won't have pidyon in that case either. Correlation is not necessarily complete, but the idea is that ofot are less likely to be disqualified from the mizbeach, and they also don't have any pidyon. You can't redeem them, which means that their only value is their value to get on the mizbeach. If they can't get on the mizbeach, they carry no value with them. And so that would be on both sides. That means if they get a mum in them that disqualifies them, you can't redeem them. And also, if it's too early, before the time, you also can't assign any kedusha to them because they don't have that capacity to be carrying value independent of their jibility or their designation for the mizbeach. So they're different than a behema. And that's why the Rabbanan distinguish between mechuser zman and the case here in our Mishnah. And that's why they say, Torin that a mechuser zman don't have mi'ila. According to the Balei HaTosafot, or according to Rashi and the Rabbeinu Gershom, they wouldn't even have a din of kedusha, since the Balei HaTosafot take it for granted that even the Chachamim agree that there is kedusha here. It's just a question about Me'ilah. So now, we go back to the beginning of the Masechta. Amar Ulam Rabbi Yochanan, Kodoshim Shemetu, Yatzu Midei Mila Dvar Torah. Ulam Rabbi Yochanan, the statement we saw back on Daf Bet, we saw it on Tedvav again. Ulam Rabbi Yochanan say that Kodoshim that die, they lose their status of Mila Mina Torah. We learn from that, or Midayek from that, they still have Mila Midirabanan. It's not Mila Doraita, but there is Mila Dirabanan. But nevertheless, any Kodoshim that die, they are released from Mi'ila. Yotiv Ula v'kamar l'hayshmaita. Ula was saying over this memra from his Rebbe, Rabbi Yochanan. It seems to be in the reign of Gershom and others. It seems to quote it as from Rava or Rabba. Amarle Rav Chista man shamalach ula Rabbi Yochanan rabbeich. Who's going to listen to you and Rabbi Yochanan your Rebbe? V'chi kedusha behen neichanacha. How does kedusha just dissipate? You had kedusha. You had Mi'ila associated with this animal. It dies. And now all of a sudden it disappears. Where do you have such a concept that Kedusha can just disappear? Samalei, he says, no problem. Tikshei Matnitin. Why are you bothering me and Rabbi Yochanan? Why don't you look in the Mishnah? The Mishnah says exactly that. Torin, shlo igiyaz manan, ubnei yona, shavar zanan, lonenin, velo maalin. When it comes to Torin that are too early, or bnei yona, who are past their prime, they're past their stage when they can be brought in the Mizbeach, there is no Mi'ila with them. Hachanami, why don't you ask the same question here? Neima, Kedusha Shemen, Eichanacha. Where did the Kedusha on these Bnei Yonah that were Kadosh, where did it suddenly disappear to? So if you're worried about what we're saying, why don't you ask that same question on the Mishnah? Once it had Mi'ila, where did the Mi'ila suddenly disappear to or dissipate to? You know, there's got to be some mechanism that does it. And if it works here by the Mishnah, it's obviously working too when the Kodoshim die. The reason they say it by the Kodoshim is when the Kodoshim die, they're useless, worthless. You can't be put them on the Mizbeach because they're dead. You can't redeem them because ain't podim na kodashim la chilan the klavim. They're nevelot. And we don't put the kodashim to feed them to the dogs. So you have no mechanism for realizing the value in this behemah. So that's why there is no mi'ila associated with it, because there's nothing valuable to hektish anymore. Same thing with the bnei yonah. The bnei yonah, as we just said here, birds cannot be redeemed. There's no way to redeem a bird. So that means when the bnei yonah graduate out, they're now worthless to hektish. They can't be put on his back. They can't be redeemed. They're not worth anything. That's why the Mi'ila is gone. Because there's no value here to be Mo'el in. And so he says, I don't understand your question. My position is no different than the position of the Mishnah. Tosafot also points out that Ula's disproof of Rav Chista's question, he didn't have to just bring the Dam. He could have also brought Chamesh Chatot HaMetot. Because Chamesh Chatot HaMetot also have Mi'ila. And then when they're subject to death, they lose their Mi'ila. So that's another example of a case like that. At this point in the Gemara, there's a major machloket as to how the Gemara continues. We have the Girsa's Amarle. But if you look at Rashi, Rashi says the word Aval. So that changes who the speaker is. If you say that it's Aval, that means that Ula is continuing to speak. And that means that whatever statement comes up next is from Ula and not from Rav Chista. If you say Amarle, that means we switch speakers and now it's back to Rav Chista. So Rashi clearly reads it as being Aval. And then he says, Aval, baha modina lecha. Here, this is what I agree to you, that Ika Mi'ila Midrabanan. There still is Mi'ila Midrabanan. So that means Modinacha Afakav Damina Yatsumi de Mi'ila Dvar Torah, Modina Ika Mi'ila Midrabanan. I agree with you that there is still Mi'ila Midrabanan, because when the animals die, or Torin, Shalig Isman, Umishalim Karen, or the Torim that don't reach their time period, then you have to pay the Karen, which is the din of Mi'ila Midrabanan, that you pay Karen and not Karen Vichomesh. But there is Mila Midrabanan. So now, Vakashali, in Rashi, it's still not clear exactly who's asking the question, but it sounds like from Rashi, now we switch speakers, and that it's Rav Chista asking a question. Vakashali, and he's asking a question disconnected from all that we've said until now. Because the Modina Lacha was part of Ula. Ula says, you're wrong because of the Mishnah. But I happen to agree with you that it doesn't just dissipate the Mila, there's still Mila Derabanan. And I have to say that, both in the case of the Mishnah here, as well as by the case of Kodoshim Shemetu. The one question he has is this question. Vekashali, this is my question. How do you have something where there was no Mi'ila at all, and all of a sudden then there's introduced Mi'ila Midrabanan? So if you had Mi'ila Midoraita first, and then I understand why all of a sudden then it turns into Mi'ila Midrabanan. Because it downgraded. It was Mila Doraita. Now it downgrades to Mila Dirabanan. But if you have a case where there was no Mi'ila whatsoever, then how do you have suddenly Mi'ila Dirabanan that appears out of the blue? And so that's the nature of the question. Is there a situation in which there is no Mi'ilah in the beginning, and all of a sudden at the end, you introduce this Mi'ilah Mi'derabanan? The question here is, I understand by the Kodoshim Shemetu, but the case of Torin, Shloi Giazmanan, by Torin, where they didn't reach their maturity yet, how is it that they were Mukdash, where there was no Mi'ilah Mi'doraita? And then, all of a sudden, you're going to tell me that in the end, there is Mi'ilah Mi'derabanan. Because you're saying to me, in the beginning, there's no lo malin velo nanin. There's no mi'ilah at all. Now suddenly there's mi'ilah midrabanan. According to Rashi, because mature torim, when they do age in to the point where they're roeid the mizbeach, only have mi'ilah midrabanan. Or, according to the Rabbeinu Gershom and the Shita Mikubetzet, it is connected back to Rabbi Yochanan's original statement that Kodoshim Shemetu don't have Mi'ilah Midoraita, but do have Mi'ilah Midorabanan. Because you're saying Kodoshim Shemetu, any Kodoshim that die are subject to Mi'ilah Midorabanan. So now I have Torim that are Kadosh, that don't have any Mi'ilah, but then they died, now all of a sudden they have a din of Mi'ilah Midorabanan. So that would be the nature of the question. And then the answer to that is yesterday's daf, which is Vayikra Dam. What about Dam? Dimi Kara Lepa Mi'ilah. In the beginning, Dam has no Mi'ilah. That's what we saw. The dam has no mi'ilah in the Mikdash. Ubasov yidbe mi'ilah. It only went out to Nachal Kidron. And when it goes out to Nachal Kidron, it gets mi'ilah midrabanan. In the end it does. The tzan. The Mishnah that we saw yesterday. Dam b'tchila ein molinbo. Yetzal Nachal Kidron. Molinbo. So we have precedent for such a concept. The mi'ilah derabanan can appear later on. Zamrei hatam nami ika mi'ilah mi'ikara. That's not true. There is mi'ilah from the outset or from the beginning. Da'amar rav. In all likelihood, it is got to be something besides Rav, because Gemara is about to read a Gufa and repeat this and calls it Amar Abhun Amar Rav. But even in that case, Rav is probably problematic. It's probably Rav Zeira, which is what appears in other places in Shas. So it's either the Amar Abhun Amar Rav or it's Amar Abhun Amar Rav Zeira. Hemikiz dam lebeimat kodoshim. Someone who bloodlets a beheima of kodoshim asur bahana umolimbo. It's asur bahana. The blood comes off of the animal. And there's a din of mi'ilah on it. So that dam hakaza, that dam of bloodletting that's taken out of it, has a din of isurana and mi'ilah, because you can't put it on the mizbeach. It's not ra'oi for zrikat adam, and it came from the guf of the behema, so it's subject to mi'ilah. It's kodoshim, that's subject to mi'ilah. So there is an initial mi'ilah d'oraita that's associated with the dam. Then it goes through a period of time when there is no mi'ilah after shechita. And then from the Shechita point until it's Yotzei L'Nachal Kidron, there's no Mi'ilah, and then there's Mi'ilah D'Rabbanan. The Mi'ilah D'Rabbanan is still connected back to the original Mi'ilah D'Oraita that is suspended after the Shechita until you get to Nachal Kidron when the Mi'ilah D'Rabbanan comes back. So it says that's not a precedent because it's different than the case that we have here whereby the birds, there was never any Mi'ilah, and now all of a sudden you're introducing Mi'ilah D'Rabbanan. Right, that's Rashi's reading of it. So according to Rashi, the question is disconnected from Rabbi Yochanan's original statement about Kodoshim Shemetu. Though in the version of the Rabbeinu Gershom and the Shita Mikubetzet, they solved that problem by saying that the issue of the Mi'ilah Midrabanan is not associated with Torim that are matured, but rather with Torim Shemetu, and then they do connect it back to the original statement of Rabbi Yochanan. The Balei Tosafot seem to have the Girsa of Amar Leh, which is that the speaker switched. If you say Amalei, that means that Rav Chisda is giving, coming back to him and saying, Amalei, modina lecha, deika mi'ilah midrabanan. I agree with you that there is mi'ilah midrabanan, and that is Rav Chisda speaking. Bekashali, this is my problem with Rav Yochanan's statement. The way if you read it Amalei, then he's saying that I agree with you that there's mi'ilah midrabanan. You disproved me. The Mishnah shows I'm wrong. And you disprove me, and therefore I have to agree with you that the situation here is that Kodoshim Shemetu, they're not subject to Mi'ilah D'Oraita, because it goes away. Just like the Mishnah says, by the Bnei Yonah, it goes away. He says, I agree with you, and there is Mi'ilah Midrabanan, and whatever you said is correct. Then Mekasha Li, then he continues to speak and says, this is my question. Then at first, Tosafot brings the explanation that we saw in Rashi, or the Miuchas to Rashi, the question that Torim, when they're underage, have no Mi'ilah. When they reach maturity, they have mi'ilah. But the Balei Tosafot believe that Torim at full maturity, when they're ra'oi the mizbeach, are a problem of mi'ilah midoraita. And that leads him to the following problems with that explanation.
He says, v'kash leperuzeh, this is very difficult, chado, demai maiti raya, b'samuch midam. What does that have to do with dam? when dam goes out to Nachal Kidron, there's no mi'ilah then midoraita. The mi'ilah that shows up then is only midorabanan. So what does it have to do Torin that switched from no mi'ilah to mi'ilah deoraita? Says that can't be. But od kasha. So also, it sounds like he's
coming here to question Rabbi Yochanan's original statement of Kodshim Shemetu, but according to the explanation that Rashi gives, it is uncorrelated. It has nothing to do with Rabbi Yochanan's original statement.
Makach nira dahachi peirusho. This is the way to explain it. Your statement is problematic. The Kamar Psikta, you say that everything that has died automatically has mi'ilah disappear mina Torah. Avo midrabanan ipuhu mi'ilah. And now he says, I have a problem with that, because afilu kodshim kalim. What about kodshim kalim? Kodshim kalim have no mi'ilah until after zrikat adam. Yet you're telling me when you say kol kodashim shemetu, all kodashim that die, they are subject to mi'ilah midrabanan. That means kodshim kalim have no mi'ilah associated with them at all. And then all of a sudden they die, and now they have mi'ilah midrabanan. Where did you ever find such a concept? That's the question that he's asking. And his question is focused on the statement of Rabbi Yochanan. The way that Rashi reads it, his question has no longer anything to do with the statement of Rabbi Yochanan. His question is a generic question now about the Mishnah. What, you already brought that Mishnah as a proof. Now I have another question. You're right. Whatever you said, we're done. But now I have a separate question on the Mishnah that you quoted, which is that Mishnah is problematic. How do you have a situation in which it goes from having no mi'ilah to having mi'ilah? That's the question that Rashi asks. Tosafot says, first of all, he doesn't like that question because he says, what's the question? The proof that you bring from Dam is not a proof. There it's going from no mi'ilah to mi'ilah de Rabbanan. You're asking a question about no mi'ilah to mi'ilah d'oraita. So it's no proof. That's number one. Number two is, what does it have to do with Rabbi Yochanan's statement and the interaction here? It's a totally independent question. It has nothing to do with Rabbi Yochanan. So he says the focus is on Rabbi Yochanan, and the question comes from Rabbi Yochanan's statement, which was, Kodashim that die now become Mi'ilah Midrabanan. He says that means that all Kodashim, Kodashim Kalim, Kodashim Kadashim. Now, Kodashim Kadashim were Mi'ilah Doraita. They die, they're Mi'ilah Dorabanan. Kodashim Kalim have no Mi'ilah. And now all of a sudden they die and they have Mi'ilah Midrabanan. Where did you all of a sudden come up with this Mi'ilah Midrabanan? He says, what about Dam? Dam is the same thing. There was no mi'ilah, and then there's suddenly mi'ilah d'rabanan. He says, no, dam is different, because dam had mi'ilah beforehand. When you do the makis dam, it was dam d'oraita. Dam d'oraita has mi'ilah in the earlier stages. And that's why it's different, and therefore you can't bring me a proof from dam. And therefore, how can it be over here? Mi'ilah switches from being no mi'ilah at all to mi'ilah d'rabanan. And again, then we would leave the question as a question, because you don't have proof or evidence of the fact that there should be something that's going. But that leaves the question on Rabbi Yochanan's statement, not on our Mishnah. The way that Rashi has it, the question's left on the Mishnah. How do you go from nothing by Torin to having mi'ilah? Whether that means, according to the Tosafot, that means that it became mi'ilah d'oraita, that's the nature of the question. The way Rashi seemed to phrase it, it means, or possibly it means that when they had no mi'ilah and then they died, then they get mi'ilah midrabanan, that's the question. If you read it that way, then it's more similar to what the Baalei Tosafot is saying, that it is a problem with Rabbi Yochanan's position. But that depends on how you read the Rashi over here in terms of what the additional question is. So that's the way Tosafot reads the question. And now the Gemara goes back and wants to understand this whole concept of Mekiz Dam, that there is Mi'ilah. Gufa. Amravuna Amrav, or Amravuna Amrav Zira. Mekiz Dam Nebeimat Kodoshim Asurbana Umolimbo. There's Mi'ilah for Hakazat Dam, bloodletting. Meiti Rav Amnuna. Chalav HaMukdashim Ubeitzei Torim. Milk that comes off of a Kurban, meaning that something that was dedicated to the Mizbeach, or birds that lay eggs that are dedicated to the Mizbeach. Lo ne'enin velo mo'alin. There's no hana from them, but there's also no mi'ilah. Now, these are all things that are coming away from an animal that's kodesh. Chalav, beitzim, dam. Why should there be any difference between these three things? They're all derivatives of the behemah that's going to the Mizbeach. So why are you telling me that it should be mi'ilah, midoraita? And then we have by Beitzei Torim and Chalav that it's only lo nanin velo mo'alim. How do you reconcile that? Amar lei ki aminan legabei dam to lo mitkayemet belo dam. It's very different. By dam, the animal cannot survive without its blood. Aval Chalav, the kaimikayemet belo Chalav, lo. He says there's a big difference. Things that come away from the animal that are the life force of the animal, that necessity for the animal to survive, those items are like the goof of the behemah. They're like the actual behemah itself. That's why they have a problem with mi'ilah. Chalav and beitzim are disparate objects. They are totally separate from the item. And even if you don't have them, or even if they didn't have them, they would still survive. They're not a crucial element in its survival. Therefore, they're considered to be separate or differentiated. So, Meitiv Ramasharshia, is that really true? Has Zevel Vaperesh. Zevel, which is the manure. A perish is a machloket. The Shita Mekubetz, it says that a zevel vaperish means perish is when it's first excreted by the animal, and zevel is after it's already worked on or it's already become dung. That's the way the Shita Mekubetz, it says it. Most people explain that the zevel is once it's been excreted by the animal. Perish is when it's still in the stomach of the animal. The animal was shechted, and the perish is the stuff in the digestive system. Now, if you find it in the chatzer, Rashi says it's lav dafka of a chatzer, that's just where they keep them. For all the kodashim, they kept them in the chatzer. Ein anim ve'ein mo'alim. Over there, no nahana, no mo'alim. Ve'iplu damel de lishka. And if you do get enough from it, you got to give your monies to the lishka. Amai. Again, why? Hachanami lo mikayim ve'lo perish. No animal survives without having its digestive system or juices in the digestive system. That's a given. He says, Amre, my iria hadain perish, de min alma ka'atila, azil hai, ati achrina. That's exactly right. There's nothing inherent about this perish. This perish came from the last food that it ate, or this zevel came from the last food that it excreted. Once it gets rid of it, it just replaces it with something else. Yes, it's part of the animal, and it is essential to its survival, but it's something that is replaced on a regular basis. It can be renewed on a regular basis. Dafuke dam migufa. That's not true of the dam that comes out of its body, which is not a replaceable item. It's an essential item to the survival, and you can't just keep putting in new blood. It just, once you take the blood out, it doesn't survive because you've taken too much blood. What's interesting is that it's not necessarily totally true. You can take out a certain amount of blood and the body will replenish it. Like damakaza, which is where you take the bloodletting, and then the body replenishes that dam that's there. So it's not exactly correct, but the idea being that dam is not something that you just consume and replace from the outside, something that the body has to regenerate, which means that it's a part and parcel of the body. It's a internal generation of the body, even though you need to eat and to drink in order for it to produce blood, but it's still a body working replenishment. And therefore, that is considered to be something that is part of the goof of the animal, and there's mi'ilah. Peresh and zevel are still considered to be outside elements that are used by the animal. Because they're outside elements, they're not considered for mi'ilah. Now, ha'vdaktani lo nenim v'lo malin, v'tamav l'lishka. Sounds strange. You say you can't get enough from it. There is no mi'ilah, but then you got to pay money to the lishka. So, what's going on over here? Misayle, the Rabbi Elazar, that helps Rabbi Elazar's position. Damar Elazar, kol makom shemu chachamim, kadosh, me'enu kadosh. Wherever the Chachamim say it is Kadosh, but it's not Kadosh, Damav Yiplu L'Lishka. Then the monies go to the Lishka. So the way that Rashi explains this over here is Kadosh, Lo Kadosh means Lo Nenim V'Lo Malim. Then Damav Yiplu L'Lishka. Then the monies are given to the Lishka. Bali Tosafot are bothered by this because we said before that the difference between Mi'ilah D'Oraita and Mi'ilah D'Rabbanan is that Mi'ilah D'Oraita you pay Keren V'Chomesh. Mi'ilah D'Rabbanan you only pay Keren. So then how is this different than Mi'ilah Mi'D'Rabbanan? The Balei Tosafot,
l'shitatam,
that when it says over here, lo mo'alin, it means lo ma'alim afilo mi'derabanan.
And therefore,
what does it mean that you give damav l'lishka?
If it's not, mi'ilah mi'derabanan.
So the Tosafot says over here, el hachi beirusho, damav yiplu v'nedava ha'gizbarim chayavim litapel b'perish u'bezevel ulemochram lagia damav l'lishka. Tosafot says that this isn't a din of mi'ilah. Every way Rashi reads it, it's a din of mi'ilah, and who do you pay? Where does the money go after you mo'el in it? So even though there's no mi'ilah d'rabanan, you still have to pay for it. You still have to pay for the hana. So that's what it says. That is mi'ilah d'rabanan, is that you have to pay for it. If there's no mi'ilah d'rabanan, then you shouldn't have to pay for it. So that's what it says. It has nothing to do with mi'ilah. It has to do with the obligation of the treasurers of the mikdash that they have to sell this off. They have to monetize the zevel and the perish because there's value to it. And that money that they monetize from it goes to the lishka. And that's what it means, the monies go to Lishka, and that's what Rav Elazar is saying. Wherever the Chachamim say Kadosh Veino Kadosh, then the Gizbarim are then instructed, or they have an obligation to deal with it, and then to monetize it, and put those monies towards the Lishka. That's how the Balei Tosafot read it. The next Mishnah, which we just read above, which is Chalava Muktashim, Ubeitzei Torim, the milk of Muktashim, and the eggs of the Torim, Lo Nenin V'Lo Malim. Bamed Varim Omurim, where's that true? Bekodshe Mizbeach. That's when you're dealing with Korbanot from the Mizbeach. But with Kodshei Berek Abayit, by Kodshei Berek Abayit, that's not true, because Higdish Tanagolet, Modim Ba, Uveitzata. There's Mila in it, and its eggs. Chamorah, if you would Makdisha Chamor for its value, molin ba ubechalava. You are molil with it, and it's milk that it has. And what's the difference over here? The way the Balei Tosafot, the Rashi explained it over here, is when you're makdish something to the mizbeach, you assume that whatever can be going on the mizbeach will go on the mizbeach. You know the milk and the eggs aren't going to go on the mizbeach. And therefore, you're not makdish those items. That's why there's no mi'ilah associated with them, because they're not going to the mizbeach. When it goes to the kochei berakabayit, you were makdish them for their monetary value. That means anything that can be monetized, you're going to assume goes towards the hekdish. And since the eggs and since the milk can be monetized, that's also something that you dedicate towards kochei berakabayit. Now Gemara says, elagabe mizbeach, ki akta shak dushat amim, lo itba me'ilah. So you're telling me there's actually an in-between stage, which is that you have kochei mizbeach, which is where the actual animal goes to the mizbeach, kochei berakabayit, which is going towards the treasury of the mikdash, but there's also something called damim lemizbeach, where you makdish something for its monetary value to be placed on the mizbeach. The implications of our Mishnah are that only kochei berakabayit have this din, but if you had kochei damim lemizbeach, they would not have this din. So Amar Rav Papa, no, you misunderstood. Chasurei mechsera. The Mishnah is missing a transition stage. V'achitani, this is what it means. Bamed dvarim amurim, where is that true? Kishik dish kudushat aguf. That's only when you're makdishit for the actual animal to go on the mizbeach, the gabe mizbeach. Aval ikdisho kedushat damim le gabe mizbeach. You dedicate it for its monetary value to go on the mizbeach. Naseh kemishik dingsho the berek abayit. That's the same thing as being makdishit to berek abayit. Higdish tarnagolim. Mo'alim ba ubebeitzata. Chamura mo'alim ba ubechalava. Or in essence, what it is saying here is that when you dedicate something for its monetary value for the mizbeach, that's no different than kochei berakabayit. Because when you intend something to be monetized, you're makdish anything that can be monetized from this object. And so when you do a damim the mizbeach, that's similar to doing it the berakabayit. And therefore, the monetization will include any item that value can be reached from it. That will either go to berakabayit or that go to the mizbeach. The only exception is when you're makdish it limizbeach. There you only intend for the actual object to go on the mizbeach, and therefore only things that are wrote with the mizbeach are going to be mukdash. Those things are not with the mizbeach, the chalav, the beitzim, which are byproducts of the animal, but are not things that are going to mizbeach, they're not kadosh. That's the way Rashi, the Balei Tosafot, explain it. There are achronim that invoke a Tosafot that we find in many places. We actually just saw it recently with the case of Metu. He says here, korbanot zibur le zibur, Pairush afim meitu oto ador, even if the tzibur dies, and korbanot berakabayit afilu meitu abalim, even if the balim die. And thus what it says, the reason is that by kochei mizbeach, the name of the balim is associated with the korban, and the korban belongs to that particular individual, and that individual's name is connected to the korban. When you give something to berakabayit, your name is wiped out. You have no association with your donation anymore. It goes into the pool, and it's a general asset, and it has nothing to do with you. That's why Tosafot says, if the owner who dedicated these monies to Berek HaBayit passes away, that doesn't change the fact that they're Kadosh, Kedushat Berek HaBayit. If you're Moel in them, you're going to be Chayav for Me'ilah. Just because the owner died doesn't change the fact that these are Kochei Berek HaBayit. It doesn't change the fact that there's Korbanot HaTzibur. There are things that were dedicated to the Tzibur. The one place where it does make a difference is by Kochei Mizbeach. The owner dies by Kochei Mizbeach, like for instance by a Chatat, that goes the mita, because that's a chatat made to balea. Meaning that when you lose the ownership associated with the korban la mizbeach, that has impact on the korban. So they want to use that same concept over here and to say that that's the explanation of the difference, which is that by kochei berakabayit, the reason that the eggs and everything belongs to kochei berakabayit is because the owners are irrelevant with the relationship to kochei berakabayit. It means that everything belongs to kochei berakabayit. By korbanot la mizbeach, the owner is still the owner. So even though there's mi'ilah on the animal itself, but he's still the owner for the benefits that derive from this animal. So if the eggs and the chalav, everything that comes away from it, we don't let you get hana from it because it's a derivative of hektish. But on the other hand, it's still associated with the owner because the owner is still associated with the korban. And for that reason, it doesn't go to the mizbeach. And that's why the eggs and the milk do not have kudushat mizbeach. And that's why there's no mi'ilah associated with them. So some achronim want to use that Balei Tosafot that's on the bottom of Tet Amud Bet. And in other places, the Tosafot found in Bava Kama as well that says a similar thing, that the kochei mizbeach retain a certain association with the owner, whereas kochei berakabayit become totally dedicated to the hekdesh. And that will explain the difference of our Mishnah. That's not the way Rashi and Tosafot explain it over here. They simply explain it as to do with the mindset of the makdish. The person is makdish. When he's makdish, the mizbeach is only makdish those items that are really the mizbeach. Kodesh Berek Abayit, he's makdish anything that can give value to Kodesh Berek Abayit. All right, we'll stop here by the Mishnah on the bottom of Yud Bet.